Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Let's get into the word. We started this series on Tuesday, right?
Amen.
We started on Tuesday. And I said we'll continue until this day on Sunday. So I need you all to pay close attention, because I'm very sure Satan does not want you to hear what I'm saying. The Bible says he likes to steal the word by getting you confused, by getting your minds focused on things that are not supposed to be, you know, relevant at this moment, even though they may be important. Not even your rent should Satan cause you to focus your heart on right now. This is a holy moment only for the word of God. Are we together? Don't think about anything, your relationship issues, your rent issues, your family issues. Don't think about anything. Just focus on the word. God knows all about your struggles. Are we together? Some of you are so cold. Are we together? And some people are bold in their faces. Taunt your neighbor and shake your neighbor. Shake him. Not just shake his hand. Shake him or her. Go ahead for a few seconds. If you don't have, hold two of them and shake them. Why that cold? Now you are talking. So on Tuesday we began by saying obedience is a proof of love, your love for God, isn't it? That was one of my first points, that it is the proof of your love for God. And I said to you that even though we tried explaining, I think we did what it meant for one, for Jesus to learn obedience through the things he suffered. Can you remember? I said to you finally that the beauty of the gospel is this. Jesus not only demonstrated obedience, he also empowers believers to obey God. That's the beauty of the gospel. Alright, because the Bible says something very wonderful in 2 Corinthians 5 and 16 in the Amplified Edition. Can we see it together? Let's read together. Want to read? So from now on, can we read together? Hey, stop doing like you took a camel. That is very cold. If it was hot, you would not be talking like that. Are we together? So let's read. Open your mouths and read. One, two, read. So God's word said we regard no one. And he's applying that to human beings. That we regard no one from a human point of view, according to worldly standards and what values. That's what it means to regard someone from human point of view. Meaning you are using anything worldly on the earth to qualify their identity. It says, though we have known Christ from a human point of view, we have known Christ, past tense, from a human point of view, now we no longer know him in this way. Now, the resultant effect is that we too should not see ourselves from a human point of view anymore. Because in Jesus we live, breathe, and have our beings. Are we together? So if right now Jesus is not existing from a human point of view, even though he had existed like that, and we can connect this to when he learned obedience through the things he suffered, etc. Right now, God is not expecting us to obey him with, you know, from our human ability. Alright? He's not expecting us to obey him from what? Our human ability. He has empowered us to obey him. He has what? Empowered us to obey him. Not to obey him from a human, you know, point of view, from a human capacity and etc., but to obey him by the grace and the power of Christ Jesus as supplied by the cross. So what am I trying to say? We are not obeying God from a human point of view in the New Testament. We are obeying God by his Spirit at work in us through the grace of Jesus. He has given us everything for life and godliness. There is no limitation for the believer. Are you here? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. So obedience is a proof of your love for God. That's John 14:15. So true love for God expresses itself through obedience. Obedience means trusting God when life is difficult or seems to be difficult, following his word when culture disagrees, and remaining faithful even when obedience is costly. So the point one, I say trusting God when life seems difficult. You said there's a mighty supply, and now it seems like there is no iota of supply. You have to still trust God. You have to keep on. And how do you prove you are in faith? By making sure your confession is still constant. You are saying the same thing. You have not changed your declaration. You are seeing lack physically, but in the realm of the spirit, you see enough and more than enough. You are like, all my needs are met. You don't allow the status quo to determine your confession. Are you here? You don't begin to take, you know, you don't allow the situation to determine your character. You feel downcasted because there is lack. That means you are not in faith. And that means you are not obeying God. And God is not moved by tears, nor is he moved by worries. He is moved by what? Faith. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. So God is not moved by your tears. Don't think you mean so much to heaven when you look so worried and are crying. God is not excited when he sees his child like that. He feels embarrassed. Because he expected so much from you if he is your father. He said, do not take a thought by saying, how shall these things be? You have to just understand that your father is God Almighty. And even though he lives in the heaven from a human point of view, as a child of God, he lives in you. Are we together? Following his word when culture disagrees. Meaning you want to go and get married and they say you must give alcohol. And you say, no, I don't give alcohol. Some people be like, it's just culture, obey it and move on. That's how we keep on obeying the devil and moving on. We got a piece of land. I wanted to go and see the elders so that we can start doing something. This is outside church, my own. So I wanted to see the elders sometimes back, and they said I have to bring alcohol. So I said I don't give alcohol. And they said, somebody says that is the toll. You don't talk to the toll like that. You don't tell the toll that you don't give alcohol. So when he finished, I said, okay. So when the toll said, what of the alcohol? I said, I don't give alcohol. The guy said, did you not hear what I said? You don't talk to the toll like that. You just bring anything, he says. I said, okay. The next time again, where is the alcohol? I am a pastor. I don't believe in alcohol. I don't give. Okay, give us the money to buy it. I will not give the money to buy it. I'll buy you what I think you can drink. And that's how the matter settled. You know, what pushed me to speak boldly was because the man said, "You see, there is no way we will meet the toll and you will not give a call. It's not possible. We are just pitying you." So I turned to them and said, "You are pitying me. How?" So to make things straight to them, I said, "When I got married, I did not give alcohol. I will not give alcohol because I got land. Land and wife, which one is more important?" So I told them, "I promise you people, you will see it today that I will be the first that will not give as tribute." And that's how the matter was settled. Simple and short. They did not have any agreement with the devil anywhere that they must give alcohol anywhere. Alright? So I disagree with the culture because it's a demonic culture. I don't know where what alcohol started in hell. I think it started in hell. Alright? So I don't know why what Shekbe has to do with marrying wife. What Oguguru has to do with marrying wife. What Ngogo. The Igbos. What is Ngogo? Has to do with marrying wife. Although they said, there are some people who preached to me and said, if the permit that they bring the same day is righteous, that comes down from the tree the same day is righteous. I've never tried to prove that thing before. I leave you with your heart. Let God judge you. If you think you are drinking it righteously, fine. I don't know it. Thank you, sir. Look at the pastor say, "Thank you, sir." Well, I really don't know anything about palm wine, so I don't even like to debate about it. Are we together? You all have the Holy Spirit. If you are getting drunk and are happy, it's your own cup of tea. All right. Remaining faithful even when obedience is costly. Now, let me say one point following his word when culture disagrees. Counterculture. Some people once in a year, they go and pour something on somebody's grave. Have you heard things like that? There's a lady in this church way back that said she should go and pour hot on her mother's grave. So I said, "Why are you going to pour hot? What has hot has to do with your mother's grave? Your mother is going to drink it." "Sister, they just said it's culture that I have to go and pour it. If not, something will happen to me." I said, "In this church, under this powerful atmosphere, what is the worst that can happen?" They will say, "You will not give birth, you will not do." I said, "Those things are fairy tales, they don't exist." I said, "You are not going anywhere, and nothing will happen to you." Simple and short. Like a culture they have in one of the cultures we have. You know, our cultures, they really affect us. I was driving one day, and I saw a lady shouting, "Ah, ah!" Around that prison, I wanted to follow the back to my house towards the power by street. So I followed the back, that prison there. And I saw they couldn't even, two hefty men could not hold her. She would just lift it and be moving like snake on the ground. People now gathered. I had to park my car by the side and I came out. I said, "What's the problem with the lady?" The nun said, "She is Azor spirit. It happens to her once in a while." "So why are people taking her to?" They said, "The man that used to stop it for a while." I said, So there's a man that will beg the spirit and say, "Calm down. Give her some chance." And I said, "That's terrible. A lady that does not know anything about the culture, the Azor spirit have entered her. She's behaving like snake." Those days when secondary school, there's one spirit in Kaduna. The spirit in Kaduna and all the northern places. They call the spirit Ajanu. You just be in class. Let's say one of your friends or your seatmate, Halima, for instance. You are sitting with Halima. You're just vibing and playing with Halima. Let's say Halima will just look at you like this. And those times we're not filled with the Holy Ghost. We're just near escape from the world into Christianity. You just see somebody's heart. You know, I had a friend who stood up and held his heart. I was doing like he would enter the war. You know, the funniest part of this story is that when she started misbehaving, they always, sometimes three of them in a week, in a month, in a semester, in a term, You will see that thing almost every time. Then you will see one boy who used to play football. Let's say his name is Abdullah. He will just come. He's the one that used to calm the spirit. You see, they will just hold their hands. They will now be in the middle and start doing something. When he does it, then she will now calm down. Then she will now go and be eating food later. Like she feels okay. It's a normal thing. And all of them are still playing. And somebody, one of the boys, let's say Kabiru, is still trying to ask her out. And you are wondering, what the hell is wrong with Kabiru? Because they think it's a normal thing. They don't see it as a problem. The funniest part of the story is that one time the thing was happening and one boy wore a rosary. So when the thing was happening, then a Muslim brother came to me and said, if they see you with this thing, to hold you and squeeze your neck. He said, Jesus, he now removed it and put it in the trucket. I will never forget this part of the story. It is always fresh in my heart. You know, I was not really born again that time, but the thing made me to laugh. And I tell you, if I was there, so I would have removed, if I had, so I would have removed my own, because what power did I have to stop anything that was going to come against me? So the guy was just wise. He removed it and put it in his pocket. He did not fully stay there. He ran away and went outside. Should in case they will now figure out the tears in his pocket. Third point, obedience means remaining faithful even when obedience is costly. Sometimes it's costly, but you ought to remain faithful. Take for instance, God tells you who to marry. You know, when you mature, you understand you don't marry for this emotion things. You marry for purpose. If you don't understand purpose, you have no reason falling in love. You are actually in lust. You see, this thing you will call love, it shakes. If you observe, some of you have been in love with more than four people. Is God not mighty and great? Huh? Is God not wonderful? The first time you ever fell in love, you thought that was all to love. Until you guys separated. God being so kind in his mercy, your heart was now open again to enter another love. You stayed in love again, the thing now scatter. You now said in your life you will not trust men. See you again, you are in love. How the hell did you get here? Even you as a man, you made up your mind and said, women has come. Now you are in love. So you see this love thing? You were very sure you should not be in love. But see what love has done to you. You are still inside. You see that? If you use love, this thing you call love, to enter a relationship. One time you look at the woman and think she's a goat. The emotion will just die. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because it's not something that is constant. So as you grow in the things of God, you understand that it's not getting who to marry should not be a function of your emotions, because it flickers. So you should look at who God wants for you and make sure that person is being married to. God tells you, so person is your husband. No, God will not tell you. He will come first before God tells you. I'm saying this because I know some spiritual ladies will now go and say, okay, God can tell me my husband. So they will now pray and say, oh, I've seen my husband. Make sure you don't see your husband as a woman. Let your husband see you. Don't disgrace yourself. What if you go and see now? And the man say he did not see you. It's a shame. No woman will be excited in that situation. And God is not an author of what? Confusion. He's not an author of confusion. So, if for instance, it seems to you that you have seen somebody, because there are special cases like that, you feel a spiritual pull towards somebody, make sure you are very calm. Because, listen to me carefully, listen to this line now. You may be 100% wrong. But should in case you are right, you will not lose anything. Because you were calm, then he now came, you now pretend like you are not interested for a while. You now finally accept. Is that not the algorithm, ladies? Pretend for a while, trust God that he will not change his mind, then finally accept. You know, there's a lady here in church. She said to me one day in the office, she said she will never, she, if I just talk about it later, she said, God forbid, Pastor, not me, man. Anybody in this church, God forbid. I said, okay. Then I now told her one day when she was saying it, I said, your type is just, it's just 30 minutes or less. When the guy really knows what he's doing, you don't know when you say, yes, I do. Instead of saying yes, you say, yes, I do. She said, no, Pastor, me, you know, God forbid. I'm sure she even added Holy Ghost fire or something. I can't remember. One day to leave in school, she finished her exam. She was supposed to travel and leave the state. Then a young man came to me and said, sir, I don't know how to say this. But the Lord has laid it in my heart for a while, and I'm wondering, you know, I've been scared to come and meet you. You know, some people are scared of meeting me that they saw, because I am not scared of what you saw. I'm not scared of what you hear. I started hearing God from 16 years old. I heard the Lord. Does not move me. If you are wrong, I will tell you, I hear the Lord saying, get out now. So it doesn't move me. And for him, he was sure. But he was doubting because he heard I used to pursue people from my office. And he came, I could see the little fear in him. I said, what are your strong reasons? What are your convictions? He mentioned them. I said, are you 100% sure? Say yes. Then I remember how the lady made mouth. And I smiled. I said, I will give you an assignment. Now that you are ready, when would you want to ask her? I said, sir, I don't know. Anytime. I said, good. There's still time. Now you're going to tell that lady that you want to see her. Make sure you spend over 20,000 or more. Buy her something nice in a good restaurant. And when you are done, pour your heart towards her. And make sure you tell me the fruit of this stuff today. I want to hear. I was curious. Took her out. Did everything I said. He now told her everything. Later in the evening, and I said, how did you go? He said, sir, easier than I expected. I just was so ashamed. You see, that's me that said, easier than expected. Meaning he felt like the thing should take, so they just gave him, yes, I do. That's somebody that said, men, God forbid, men. You know, I saw one Facebook post. The lady said, I hate men. She now posted in another place. They see me with my husband, but it's a social media post. You have to just post something. All these people telling you people to have problem with men, they are cider budge. I'm blessing. See you. Some of you have entered problem that they've put you inside. They have men. It will interest you. Probably cider budge is disturbing one guy she loves. But she will come on and tell people that men are stupid people. But there's somebody she's begging to love her probably. Don't follow all these things you are seeing on social media. Are you all listening to me? Don't follow it. Then some of you is Gege that has become your lecturer now. Gege. There are some terrible things that guy used to say. You know, one time I was just online. I said, what is the use? He said, what is the use of marriage? You that you are looking at me now that you are married. Why did you marry? What is your gain in this marriage? As I ask money, I say a lot of people will fall for this trap. Because truly, as a man now, logically, what is your gain in marriage? Is that thinking? Is that thinking? Logically, okay, what am I gaining now in this marriage? You now say you are gaining suffering? Provide thing, blah, blah, blah. What else? Say if you want to have a child, just go and have a child and live your life. You now say no woman will tie me down. Come and jam comment session. We are losing men to that guy. A lot of men, we are losing them to Gege University, School of Wisdom. Like I always tell some people, I say, this marriage you are running away from is something you must do. So when the time is right, do it immediately. Don't be wasting your time. Do it. It's something all of you sitting here, all of you must marry, whether you like it or not. Except you want to be like Paul. And I'm not seeing anybody's face that look like Paul in this place. I've not even seen anybody that have that Paul vibes in this church. You all must marry. So why? You know, some people married at the age of 50 as men. 50. 40 something. Then when their children are in university, they are using walking stick. It's a sad, sad thing. Very sad. There's one secondary school teacher that they interviewed one time. Most secondary school teachers, they don't marry early. Most men who are secondary school teachers. I don't know why I know one that has not married till now. He's 40 something. He's teaching in secondary school, I will not call the school. If you disturb him to marry, he will say, he's still waiting for the right time. Then I asked him, what's your greatest regret in life? He said, I am 50 something and I'm still carrying my daughter to school. That's my greatest regret. I wish I did this earlier. So marry, alright, is a responsibility you owe God. Are we together? And counterculture, go against this culture that says you must be 40, so you must have all the money. You ask somebody, when will you marry? Say, when I get money, we are no use. Money we plenty. Well, like, I go come marry. One answer, there's a kind of, it was a joke. You get one kind of money where I want get before I marry. Dreamer. Immediately you have a job. Huh? If how you know a man is ready to marry is that PS5 is not his priority. One of my friends said that. So when you observe that a young man does not will carry money and go and buy PS5, don't marry that man if he doesn't have a good job. That guy is not ready for marriage. How can you be like this now at age 25, 26, 27? You save money to just go and buy PS5. Meanwhile, you don't have a good source of income. You don't have a tech skill, yes. Or was any other skill. And you go and buy PS5. If you have gotten PS5 under the sound of my voice, I'm talking to you. PS5 can buy a plot of land. Don't you know that? In this state. You don't know there's land for 500,000. Let Pastor Rome take you there. The land, it will show you the ones that have prospects. It will be like you are leaving Makodi. But you see, the truth is that they will add value with time. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You know, Pastor Rome took me and my wife somewhere to buy land. It was around College of Aviation. The virtual college that we have not seen materialize. So we entered, he said it's just by the road. So we entered the street, he said it's just there. I said, where? He said, there, sir. So we started driving. We climbed some mountains and valleys with the car. I said, where is the land? He said, sir, you are very close to the land. And I said, Pastor Rome, we don't know where we are going to. He said, sir, you can't come this far and leave it. My wife said, well, I've gone too far to stop. Let's see that land. When we went there, he was still pointing. He said, sir, this is where we'll park. He said, let's go inside and go and see the land. I said, just point the place. He said, where? I said, okay, I've seen it. Let's go. I said, how? Who will come and live here? I said, sir, you can just start something before you know people will come. They will soon do this College of Aviation. I said, Shebi, is your... They gave you the project, right? He said, it's very sure necessary. The governor will start. I said, you are earlier, you had agreement. You know these agents, agents, oh my God. I'm his pastor. When we're coming out, I said, I'm preaching to him. I said, you don't become an agent of darkness too. Don't join these people. You lied. You said it is by the road. See where we came to. I said, repent, are you hearing me? He said, yes, sir. Where is the house? They'll just point there for you. You are finished. So you ought to get married. Prepare for it. Are you listening to me? It's something that must happen, whether you like it or not. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah to Jesus. Remaining faithful even when obedience is what? Costly. And I was trying to emphasize marriage, God's way for your life. Sometimes God will give you somebody you never dreamt about, because your dreams were never his dreams. Say, I want a, if you ask 20 ladies now, what kind of man do you want to marry? The first thing they will call is tall, fair, tall, dark, tall, chocolate. You will hardly hear short. I've not heard any lady, the most short, the shortest girls in this church, I've never said, I want a short man like me. They all start from tall, fair, tall, dark. Look at how our heart is. So the short people, who created them? God of Goliath is the same God of David. You must understand that the God who created Goliath is the same that created who? David. And a man is not a function of his height. There are many men who are very tall unto foolishness, tall unto destruction. They, in fact, their brain went ahead of their height. Have you not seen men who are tall? They will now be putting lipstick. Have you not seen men like that? They put red lips. You see them? They are doing fine boy. They will now go to studio during their birthday tour and snap. My friends, any man that goes to snap on his birthday is a woman. No. I mean, you can snap. It's just his own personal opinion. Are we together? Just his own personal opinion. You can snap. Oh. If you observe most men who are married and they are snapping with this dress so much, if you observe the men carefully, descending carefully, they were not happy snapping. You see them with the wife and the baby. The wife will be smiling. They will now hold the wife and smile. They force them to come out for that picture. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yes. So, a lot of these women is always tall, is in the flesh. Okay, somebody's brought a perspective. You say, hey, as long as they are Christians, marry them. Oh, okay. I did one example one time. Huh? Can I have four young men come outside? Run. Four young men. Run out. If you are an old man, sit down. But if you are young, come. If you are ready for marriage, fast. You are not ready for marriage. Come outside. Yeah. You see, he's not ready for marriage. Who is very tall here? I will cheer you to come. You say he's not ready. Come and stand. People don't even know the color of your problem. Stand at the front here. Alright, which lady will I use now? Which lady? Wait, don't worry. Let me choose. Okay, love it. Come. Watch this example. Queen, you too, come. The lady beside you, Gerald, what's her name? Come. Oh, yeah. Love it. Are these people born again? Are they not Christians? That perspective that said, as long as they are Christians, marry them. That's what I want to explain now. Are they not born again? Stand here too. Huh? You know them in church, right? I'm not sure anybody here has collected your bonds that you used to sell before I have not paid. So all of them may have good record in your heart. Choose who you think you can marry if you wanted to marry. No, that doesn't mean you like them or you are just, it's an example. Okay. While listening, bring microphone. All right, go ahead. If people come for second service, just tell them to enter. Let me try to see if I can come by the service and finish up. Is it working? Where's Pastor Room? All right. Bring that one very fast. Okay, so love it. Logically, now they are Christians. Make a choice.
Sir Richard.
Good. So now, hey, calm down. You see, that's why I don't like doing this example. Some of you start taking it personal. We told her to make a choice because they are all Christians. And she felt like Sir Richard would have been more suitable for her. Queen, how about you? But if it's the same person too, you can talk. But if it's different, you can talk. Huh? Talk now. Go ahead. Why are you? Is the mic working? No? Technical, what's happening? Are they inside? Very fast, please. Because of time.
Glory. Amen.
Very fast, Queen.
Sir Courage.
Good. Is it that you two, you made it? You didn't want to come outside. All right. Hey, don't laugh. Laugh small. All right. How about you, sister? Remind me of that your name. Dominica. Okay. How about you?
I'll go say Oche.
Oche. All right. Now. Did you see? They made, even though these guys are Christians, they made their choice based on what they like personally. I see the danger of, if you say a Christian, marry a Christian, you are still working in the flesh. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you now? I've heard some men of God talk like that. I just wish they can really go back again and think about what they are saying. It's not possible. If they say, okay, Pastor Simon or anybody here, stand up, these people are all Christians, make your choice. You want to go for the flesh. All these people are Christian, but I prefer this kind of Christian. That looks like this. Are you all getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why you got to trust God. He knows these people more than you do. He knows what fits her more than she knows. He knows what fits her. I don't know whatever she saw in her hand that made her to choose Courage or Richard or Che. But probably those things are not even existing. Maybe all you see about these boys, what if, I'm sure it's spiritual and a lot of physical factors too. Or spiritual, physical factors. Some people choose people because of tongues. They hear somebody pray in tongues like, hey, I like that guy. He's spiritual. What if that tongue is just camouflage? Take for instance Judas. He was a follower of Jesus, a disciple. But Judas was planning to betray Jesus. Imagine a lady now say, I like Judas. He is Jesus' guy. That's why Jesus won't keep money with him. Jesus trusts Judas. Meanwhile, the one you are liking is about to betray Jesus. But you like Judas because of who? Jesus. But in the realm of the spirit, it's established that Judas wants to betray what? Jesus. You now start liking Judas. They betray Jesus. You have now joined the betrayer. Because you see, because you are in love now, you have to support your Judas. That's how you left everything now. Imagine somebody is in church now serving and he misbehaves and is in love. He will carry the lady and go. I've seen that happen once here. They started a relationship in church. The person misbehaved. Two of them have gone. And they married. What can you say about it? Nothing. Alright? But I hope you get this example now. That's why God has to speak personally. And God will tell her, okay, love it, your husband, even though Donald did not make it, your husband is Donald. You one is a special one. If we call now, no, don't feel right. If we call more ladies now, so they will pick you. Do you understand? Who did not make it again? Ola, there's a choice. Everybody has a choice. You see, it's only three we call, and they pick three people. If we bring the rest now, they'll pick the rest of you. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. You must allow God. God now says, loved donut is your husband. Hey! The things of the spirit worketh contrary to the things of the flesh. Loved now is fighting it. No, God, please. God, I beg. God, please change it. And God is like, that's the person that suits you. When you grow more in the things of God, you may start a relationship and not be so much in love. But as you grow in the things of God, you come to a point where you are not thinking and seeing life from God's parameters. At that point in the relationship, that's why I see some ladies, don't be misbehaving in a relationship. At a point, you see them thanking God for their husband. They will start changing. They just change. You know, you've heard of Pastor Jerry Eze's story. Some of you saw it online. How that the wife was beating himself. They said the wife used to beat him. He will pray, the woman will insult him. But now, some people say it's because of money. No, before this fame, she didn't change. All of a sudden, he said he woke up, the woman just changed. She will come and be greeting him and behaving well. What happened at that point? She discovered something. Now she has seen that God, it was truly God's mercy that she had such a man. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You can go and sit down. So I hope you got this. Huh? Did you get it? Hallelujah to Jesus. So another point is this. Many people desire glory, success, and blessings, and God's kingdom. But God's kingdom works through what? Obedience. Real greatness in God is not built merely on gifts or public success. It is built on surrender to God. Complete what? Surrender to God. The next point. I mentioned this on Tuesday, but I'll say it again. Obedience often comes before glory. The cross before the crown. Philippians 2:8-9 revealed that Jesus had to go through the cross for the crown. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, and therefore God highly exalted him. The pattern is clear. Humility, obedience, and then glory. We see this throughout scriptures. Joseph obeyed God. Joseph obeyed God in prison before entering the palace. David obeyed God in the wilderness before the throne. Abraham obeyed God before becoming the father of many nations. God often develops character before manifestation. And that's why sometimes he needs you to go through certain paths. Alright? He leads you, you know, the Bible says he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Sometimes that path of righteousness may have some kind of little, you know, problems. But they are problems unto glory. And so I wrote something about the children of Israel to explain this even more better. Are you here tonight? Are you understanding me? Glory to God forevermore. Before I hit that, let me just continue. The path is not opening. But I showed how that, before I showed how that, I showed how that in the wilderness, God did not allow the children of Israel go into the promised land because their mindset were not ready. Isn't it? Do you know practically it takes 11 days to get to the promised land? It takes how many days? 11 days to get to the promised land. But it took them how many years? Why? Because their hearts were not right. Their mindset was bad. Are we together? And so God felt like they should go through the wilderness because you see, if you look at it critically, the wilderness was never God's idea. He didn't want them to go through the wilderness for no reason. But because their mindset was bad, They had to go through the wilderness. Could it be that the reason why you are going through some storms in your life currently is because your mindset is bad? Your mindset is wrong? And God wants to adjust it because the quality of your life is a function of the quality of your mindset. The quality of the information in your heart. As a man thinketh in his, so is he. And funny enough, all of that generation did not see the promised land. God had to do it with another generation. God does not break his standard. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? The quality of people that have to be in the promised land. The earlier you make up your mind for God to work on you, the better for you. I tell you the truth. If you keep on wasting your time, you are wasting your life. We spoke in the second day of Zoe conference. Apostle Edu said, time is not going. You are the one that is going. Are you listening to me? Years ago, I was listening to Blessed Miles Moreau. He said, oh great man, what is that one thing that when we find out about you, we will all be disappointed and your greatness will never be manifested? He said, before that thing kills you, kill that thing. You have received everything that you will ever need for life and godliness. See, God did not leave you helpless. He has given you all that you will need. He's a very faithful father. The best of God cannot be that you are suffering from an addiction. The best of God cannot be that you are misbehaving, doing that hidden sin. That cannot be the best of God. Yet coming to sit in church, I'm not trying to condemn you now or call you a hypocrite. I'm telling you that's not the best of God for you. A lot of times people behave like this because they've not realized God's power, the glory of God on their inside. And so the best of them only becomes hypocrites. They just end up becoming hypocrites because the things they don't want to do, like Paul, they found themselves worth doing them. And they don't even have the power, they've not discovered the power to resist those evil. So the best of them only become hypocrites. But the Bible says God has given us all that we'll ever need for what? Life and godliness. You got to realize this. Is it by the understanding of these great and precious promises? These great and precious promises. If we tell you, you know, the end of God is not money. You are not serving God to be rich. Even though God can empower you to be rich. Don't make a mistake about it. God can what? Empower you to be rich. But you are not serving God for money. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What shall it profit a man? Last Sunday we did a topic and I showed you how that some people will say, we'll just do it one time, like everybody is doing it, and stop. Some will just want to do Yahoo for a while and repent. You can't be wiser than the devil. For you to think you will do it and repent, your thinking is lower than Satan's thinking. In fact, he's the one that inspired you to think you should do it for a while and repent. You want to do the sin small and stop. And repent. Satan is the one that inspired you so that when you do it more, it will finish you. Because when you break the edge, the serpent will what? Strike. Anytime you walk in disobedience, you give Satan the authority, you give him access to come into your life and destroy you. He can do anything when you break the edge. God's power is limited. When you walk in disobedience, you limit God's power. In fact, the Bible said, David was one that said it in the Psalms. He said, they limited the Holy One of Israel. That's why some of you think some of your mothers are wicked people or your fathers are wicked. You are crying, the man is still firm, behaving like he's not hearing you. He loves you so much to allow your cry, make him to allow you destroy yourself. Or cause him to allow you destroy yourself. It may be paining you, but the Bible says, he that the Father loves, he chastises. He allows you to go through the pain. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Sometimes you have to go through that pain to learn. To understand that it's not supposed to be like that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And the pain, a lot of times, the pain in scripture is the pain of John 15:3. He prunes. He said some of them are bearing fruit. Yet the Father prunes so that they may bear what? More fruit. Fruit that will last. So sometimes you are a Christian, you are doing well. God will be like, this righteousness I'm seeing, the way I'm seeing you, you are not really capacitated to get to certain positions. I knew somebody who was so good way back that died. He just died mysteriously. So such a nice man, a woman too, many years ago. Such a nice woman, died mysteriously. Then we are left with this slogan, this saying that says, good people don't live long and bad people die. Who told you you're supposed to be like that? just be a nice, you don't be a nice human being. I don't really want to do this church too much. This God thing, I don't want to carry it on my head. Brother, you have to carry it on your head. I don't like that. This life, he's a good man, but no, that is very poor. We have suffered shame and disgrace because we didn't have. So no, daddy, I'm not ready to be like you. The daddy is even a reverend. You now hear reverend son, they do Yahoo. Because he now, he has a stamina. Alright? He can manage. But that boy is like, no. And I'm not saying the boy is acting right. But meanwhile, the father too, if you look at it carefully, some of them religiously will not want to touch prosperity because they feel prosperity is of the devil. I understand some people have stressed this thing so much to the extreme. And it's wrong. Some people make you, in fact, I've heard sayings that say poverty led Jesus to the cross, all of those demonic sayings. I really don't buy into those things. But it is God's will that you have money. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's God's will that you have money. Okay, you think God doesn't want you to have money? Can you really sit here and say that? All the people that work with God in scripture, were they poor? Think about anybody. Let's debate about them. No one who worked with the Lord was poor. Somebody told me one time, he said, Lazarus was poor, he worked with God. I said, Lazarus did not follow the scriptures, even on the earth. Because he made heaven does not mean that he did everything he's supposed to do. Somebody said, how? I said, the Bible said the righteous, from David speaking, he said, when I was born now and getting old, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaking nor beg for bread. I said, Daniel was begging. I know some of you look at it and say, Pastor Simon, what are you saying? Yes. Is a righteous man supposed to beg? No. Now, what I'm even trying to make you understand is that sometimes you could be a nice Christian, a good Christian, but are not applying all of the principles of God. And you still suffer lack. There are Christians who don't like to give, and it is givers that never lack. How can God then help you? But you still go to heaven. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Now, Abraham was so rich. Did Abraham go to heaven? Was Abraham in heaven? Yes. In fact, there was a section called the bosom of what? Abraham. And people went there. Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. Abraham had a bosom on the earth, a bosom in the realm of the spirit. You see that? And Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. So who told you can be poor, you can be rich on the earth and not be end up in heaven? Abraham's descendants, all of them were rich. All of his descendants were rich. Down to present Israel. Are they not rich as a country? They are rich. But when you take this in too much to the extreme, money cannot be everything. Money is not everything. That's what we're trying to stop. That wrong mindset. But money is very important. Nobody can sit there under the sound of my voice and say money is not important. You are not being sincere. We all here work for money. After church on Sunday, we all have where we go to. Because we know money is very important. We don't sit at home. We go to look for it. Out of our way, isn't it? If money is not important, you should sit down on a Monday morning and prepare to be sacked. Because you will make heaven. And indeed, you will make the heaven. But earth will be like hell to you. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why God wants you very rich. Say, God wants me very rich. Say it again. God wants me very rich. One more time. Very, very rich. He wants you very rich. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Alright, so I was trying to explain something. That's Exodus 13. 17. Let's see it briefly. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. You see that? Another rendition said that was shorter. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return toward Egypt. So you see, they had a bad mindset. If they were faced with a situation, they would run back. God said their mindset was not ready. even though that path was shorter. You know, when I was reading this years ago, I told myself, a lot of times when you are faced with situations, just know that you are close to victory. Tough situations. Because if they have the right mindset, they will face the Philistine, they will win the war and get into the promised land. So perhaps you have the right mindset, that's why you are going through this war right now. Did you get what I just said? You have the right mindset. But you prove to God you have a wrong mindset by complaining. Then you limit God. Go through it. Hallelujah to Jesus. God knew they had the mindset of slaves, not sons and daughters. A slave mindset looks for security in captivity rather than facing the responsibility of freedom. The moment pressure arrived, their default setting was always, let's go back to Egypt. Every time there's a problem, they want to what? Go back to Egypt. Every time they want to go back to Egypt. Every time. Yesterday I was teaching some of my guys, especially to some of them in tech. I said, so you were collecting less than $10 before now, and now you're collecting over, let's say $200. And it's such a big move, 20,000 to 350 or 400. It's such a big shift. You may now think you are where you ought to be. So you may now just set to your mind that this is where I ought to be. But in God's heart, you are supposed to be far better than what you are even collecting right now. And I said to them, how do we now take you out from this realm into the promised land? Because you are seeing 350. Then I say, okay, let's prepare your minds. You have to learn this better, do this better. We are going to the promised land. It will be difficult for such a person because he left 20,000 to what? 350,000. If you are saying, let's prepare, you'll be wanting preparing to go where? In fact, he may be reluctant. They may be reluctant. I said, but don't make that mistake. I said, learn to brand yourself. Make up your mind to brand yourself. You deserve 100 times better. What if in the realm of the spirit, God thinks at this point of your life, you ought to be collecting 2.5 million? There was a church in the book of Revelation. God spoke to them. He said, I know you are rich, but they lived poor upon the face of the earth. In God's record, they were a rich church, but they lived poor upon the face of the earth. It is possible that in God's record, the gold are yours. He said in his word, the silver are yours, the cattle above the thousand hills are yours, but you are suffering in lack. Alright? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because you are waiting for somebody to come and help you. Instead of humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, and one way to humble yourself is to look for a local church where God wants you to serve. Stay there and hear his word. The Bible says, with the fivefold will perfect the saints. You are God's covenant people. You don't learn that. You don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly if you want to walk in the blessing. The Bible says you must leave the counsel of the ungodly. Your delight must be in the law of the Lord. You must meditate on that law day and night. That way you will cause your paths to be what? Prosperous. You will never lack. Always bearing fruit in every season. God is too good to lie to us. If he says a thing, he means it. He's not a liar. There's prosperity in God. And I say prosperity in God. You know, somebody told me, he said, you can't tell me that what these people are, the money, this person, they don't come to church, but they have money. I'm in church. And you say, listen carefully. The people in Egypt that the Israelites left, were they rich? Huh? Were they rich? Where were the Israelites after a while? In the wilderness. Imagine they even said it. They say in Egypt we used to eat well and etc. Take us back to Egypt. There was money in Egypt. There were rich people in Egypt. But God's people were in the wilderness. If you are a child of God, you can be in the wilderness when unbelievers are making money. Meanwhile, God is keeping you in the wilderness. Because he's paying close attention to you. There's something he wants to remove. There's something he wants to add. It's not his business that unbelievers are making money. You are his child. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So stop comparing your life with those persons you graduated with. Blah, 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 blah. Allow God to work on you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You think what you need to be really qualified to become a good whatsoever in your field or in that your profession is that you study hard alone? Studying hard is part of it. It's not all to it. I told you Daniel was so skillful. Yet the king looked at Daniel and said, kill this guy, because he will not bow to a deity. He said, kill him. All of the glories, all of the beautiful skills that Daniel had on his inside, that was useful for more than seven kingdoms, they wanted to waste it in a moment because the guy refused to bow to their own god. You can imagine. Let me tell you, what the world is looking for is not skill alone. Are you listening to me? Satan will send you to the lion's den with all your skill if you will not give him your allegiance. I'm telling you 100%. So you have skill in one place, it is very, very good. Make sure your devotion to God is 100% intact. Daniel was 100% devoted to God, praying three times every day, facing Jerusalem. Even though he was in a very corrupt city, he didn't stop praying. That was why when they threw him in the lion's den, God came for him. The power of God came for him. He was not eaten by the lion, the hungry lion. The three Hebrew boys too. They say, oh king, we are very respectful followers. But on this case, we are not careful. We will not bow to your God. And they threw this guy in a burning fire. So hot, the people that took them there died. But the three boys were untouched. Yet they saw a fourth man in the fire. Why? Because their faith was unwavering. They stood with God. Are you getting me tonight? So stop comparing yourself with people in Egypt now that you are in the wilderness. You may not be working in all the money you want yet, but God is working on you. Allow him work on you. Stop complaining. Do not get weary in well-doing. Submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Be calm. You don't sit down and say, look at that person. We started together. Blah, blah, blah. We graduated at the same time. Look at them. You are coming. You are coming. Set your gaze on Jesus. Allow him finish what he has started in you. But if you keep on complaining, and you say, in the wilderness, it's so funny that anytime they needed food will come. Anytime they needed water, if they pray, it will come. So what kind of Christian life is this? Anytime I have to pray before God give me food. I have to pray. God is not faithful. People are not praying, but they are getting it. Some people begin to compare their life with unbelievers. Meanwhile, if you look at the idea behind God allowing them to pray, call for things before they come into pass, into existence, God was like, I want them to understand that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Meaning that in any situation when there is lack, the surety that there will be food is not that we see anybody cooking, but because God told us that there will be food in any situation. I don't know that you guys are getting what I'm trying to say. God wanted them to understand that if he has said there will be food, it doesn't matter if they saw anything on the ground, if they saw people cooking, they should just understand that his word is bigger than any other thing upon the face of the earth. His word is more than any physical provision we can see upon the face of the earth yet. He wanted to train them to live by his word. That's why in a moment he showed them his power. Nobody was cooking. Nothing on the face of the earth. Nothing to suggest they can eat at that moment. Manna began to fall from heaven. They saw food falling from heaven. Cooked hot food falling from heaven. And they were eating it. God still wanted to train them. He gave them provision from nowhere. He wanted to teach them how to live with the provision. He said, don't save it. On the sixth day, you can start saving. God will give you money. He will teach you how to use the money. If you fail the test, you've really failed. You see why it's hard for some people to enter their promised land? Because God has given them the provision, but he cannot teach them how to use the provision. They took the food and started saving from the first day. Somebody said, God Almighty gave you food. You don't know how the food came over. He gave you food. We can bring it to our life today. You see where you are. The job you are. How did you get the job? Now God says, this is how you should use the finances. This is how you should do. Now you are having a problem with that. You cannot obey the Spirit of God. You are wise to your own understanding. And sometimes if you imagine yourself in the shoes of God, how do you deal with human beings? That you don't know how the hell you should get into, you will get into the job you have today, into the money or finances you have today, and somehow God provides for you. Then the same God says, do it like this, and you can't do it. How, if you were God, how will you deal with those kind of people? So that simply means that you have to go through something for a season to understand that your disobedience is causing you this. Your disobedience is bad. God allows a season of your life like a wilderness. You are going to and fro in a circle. wondering what is happening. And one day when you make up your mind to pray, he begins to speak to you. This is what you are neglecting. That is why you are here. I don't know that you people are getting what I'm trying to say. Very important. And that's why God allows some situations sometimes. And that's why the Bible says, when you see situations happening in your life, count it all joy. God is showing you that he loves you. Because if you pay attention to the situations, you will see where you end. And if you allow God to work on your mind, before you know, you get into the promised land. Their mindset were wrong. That's why they were not interfaced with the Philistines and got into the promised land. But if their mindset were right, they will interface with the Philistines, they will win the war and what? Get into the promised land. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So make up your mind today. Make up your mind today. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, guide me. You wake up in the morning, good morning, Holy Spirit. Lead me, guide me. Don't live your life haphazardly. Under the sound of my voice, don't make that mistake. I don't know if they've told you before, but I'm telling you, you can't be casual with your life. You just stand up, you are going to party, you stand up, you are going to do this, you have wrong songs in your phone. I'm not trying to preach you into heaven. I'm trying to show you how that these things are going to limit you upon the face of the earth. Even though finally you still not get to heaven. Somebody came to my office years ago, a lady, and said she was praying for her brother. We have had countless testimonies where people want to join cultism and the revert. She said she has been praying and the brother is not changing. So I said to her, how have you been praying? Let me hear how you pray. I can be that very, you know, inquisitive, because I'm wondering, why will you pray and God not hear you? And when she wanted to start, her phone began to ring. Brother, you don't do one thing. One thing, you don't do one thing. Fam. She said, Pastor, sorry, sir. I said, no, pick the call. I was arranging my words. When she finished, I said, you don't need to pray again. I've seen the problem. I said, can clean, pure and impure water come out from the same fountain? She said, no. I said, how can you, God, come out from this kind of life? How can God flow through your life to towards situations like this? When this your song, sir, probably is a cultist that wrote it. And you want your brother not to join cult. I said to her, let's be realistic. I don't know how to arrange these things. Though. Me, I will tell you the way it is. I'm a prophet. God cannot flow through you with this kind of mindset. You are the firstborn of your family. You mean well for your family. You have to walk towards godly path. It takes nothing. Delete all these songs from your phone, I told her. Delete them. You say, no, Pastor, we want song of vibes. Vibes, vibes on vibes. To what end? Just to dance? And that's why now the kind of song they are bringing to gospel self, we don't understand where they are coming from. You hear a song in church, you say, now they don't sing that song. They say, no, it's one guy. You say, ah. When did we start having this kind of song in the gospel world? I was watching a gospel video, a song on YouTube. They wanted to start the song. I had to ask my wife, who sang this song again? You know, the first thing they show is the person's shoe. They saw gospel artist's shoe. They now show his chains. These are things I used to see those days. I used to watch 50 Cent. Go shorty. They will now be showing their it's shepherd. That's what I used to see those days. Now I'm seeing gospel artists now. Blinks, blinks. In fact, one was so serious, he did not wear singlets. Jesu, Jesu, Jesu. Where are we going? The one is boring. It's for our fathers. This is your house. Your. You know, I was in Abuja one time. I was with one of our guys. He followed me. So, while we wanted to rest, in the night, he now played. He was just playing some song that would do bang, 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 this kind of song. So, I told him, he said, Pastor, are you okay with the song? I said, no, not at all. He said, sir, what do you want? I said, just check for the Domwen collection. Or what's this man's name that died recently? Ron Kenoly collection. Play the whole album for me. Just leave any song that is playing, just leave it for me. He said, sir, how would you be able to survive listening to the song? I said, just play it. Then later he now says, sir, I want to go to the other the songs. I don't want to say it's boring, but it's not my type. I said, when again did you become born again? He said, last year. So I said, okay.
You can go. You've not known a lot of things. There are when life hits you, you will know that it's not vibes that change situations. It's the word of God. You start looking for songs that are ministering to you. Well, I've grown beyond. There are some songs that can have good vibes and good wordings. True. But we have grown beyond that. We want to just hear the word of God. That's the goal of music is to worship God. It's not to feel good. Before you know, you see gospel. This is gospel. And are they learning these things from Naira Marley? Naira Marley's dance is in church now. Naira Marley, Malian. We have gospel Malians. They will tell you, the guy is a worldly guy. Just start playing drum for them. They will come outside and start doing Malian standard. That's why the guy does not want to come to church, because he inspires us. Some will tell you they want to do gospel version of Burna Boy and singing. It's so funny. We can't grow like that. To be worldliness upon worldliness upon worldliness. That's why before you know, we see an atrocity happening in church. Different atrocities. Young man wants to prove he's a new creation guy. He has boys 2 years. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed by the precious blood. Is your earring? Two. I saw a gospel artist, nose ring. Man. He puts two here, he now put nose ring. If I talk now, I say, no, he's condemning. See, call me condemner. Just tag me condemner. Say, Pastor Condemner. I'll say, hi. I'll love the name. This generation, they don't love truth. They want somebody to be pampering their foolishness. How do you think God can happen to us like that? That you sit down under the influence of the Holy Ghost. He gives you a song. He now tells you to bore your 2 ears. Holy Ghost that I know. Inspires you. You are under the influence of the Holy Ghost. You are now. Holy Ghost. Abi, you hold your hand. We have to wake up. Are you listening to me? See what they are. You know, I was reading a book by Kenneth Hagin. I started shaking my head. I said, these people have worked so hard for us to fail them. We ought to do 10 times better. Look at how he's so disciplined with his writings. If you read Kenneth Hagin's book, some of his books, the way he will connect over 10 scriptures to explain one thing. Aye. We have to wake up. Are you all listening to me? God wants you to be all successful in whatever you are doing. Peter was wise. The master said, cast your net. When he saw fishes, he followed Jesus. He emphasized Jesus over his business. If you emphasize your business over Jesus, you will still suffer in that business. Jesus must be number one. Are you listening to me tonight? Very important. We don't teach this enough. That's why you see Christians in church still thinking of doing Yahoo. You know, I was preaching somewhere, an all-night meeting. The guy came to me after church and he said, sir, I don't know, I want to repent from something, but I don't even know what is wrong. I said, what's that? He said, years ago, people stole from us. White men stole from us. And now we are trying to recover that money back. That's how they schooled him into Yahoo. They lied to him that they stole from. So they stole from our fathers, so we want to collect the money back, sir. So we started trying to collect the money. I don't know, is this a sin? I said, I don't understand. Where are you coming from and where are you going to? Be straightforward. You say you want to repent. Now you are asking me if it's a sin. If it's not a sin, what are you repenting from? He says, sir, they call it, some people call it Yahoo. But that's not what I call it. I call it recovery. I asked him a sincere question. I said, which one did he steal from your father? Did your father tell you that any white man stole from him? Yahoo is Yahoo. Are you listening to me? You know, this generation they call Gen Z. There's a generation that we call millennia. That time when you come back home with a phone, they'll ask you, where did you get the phone from? Do I have millennials in this place? Shut up. Which one is? Yes, sir. Gen Z are shouting. Yeah. You come back home, they'll ask you, your mother will say, stay out. Your father will be, in fact, your father's body will be shaking because of what he's seen on your hand. Where, Shoma, where you get that phone from? Daddy is my friend, Shoma. In fact, you see tears coming out from your father. You want to disgrace me in this house. Who gave you that phone? Daddy is my... Which friend will carry you? Whether it's KB that friend is, they are going with you. You give my daughter phone? Why? Take the phone back. Don't ever call my daughter again. They are that disciplined. Now you see young boys coming with the Benz to the house. You see the mother will come outside and start thanking God. I used to know some boys way back, and recently I was in Tito Gate to do something, and I saw the boy. He rushed to greet me. I said, hey, how are you? He said, I'm fine. I said, why am I not seeing you in church? He said, sir, it's work. Then before I left, I was going to carry my Camry Mozu. I saw that boy driving a Benz out. So I was with somebody. I said, who was that guy? He said, ah, sir, he's a big boy. He's the one that... I said, that boy. I said, do you know his age? I said, telling him the age of the boy. I said, that boy is over 23 years old. Who gave him Benz? That's, I was talking to myself. I couldn't help it. I had to call one or two persons I used to that know him. I said, how did that boy get Benz? And I said, you didn't know, he's into Yahoo. I said, Yahoo. I was so disappointed. So I think I tried speaking to him. Anytime he sees me, he'll be running away. If the parent pay close attention, you know, sometimes we human beings, even Christians, can be hypocrites. Your brother is doing Yahoo. You are thanking God for the progress in your family. You are thanking God that God is blessing your family. Instead of being sincere that your brother is saying, don't tell us, but be talking to him. I told one of my friends, his brother went, traveled out and did tattoo on his body. He's into medical field. He now drew snake first so that they will know, to prove that, you know, that they are a symbol. To prove that he's doing it for his profession. Before you know, he started doing it everywhere. So he now posted him. The guy does not wear, he wear armless and the tattoo only. He now posted and said, God is faithful to us. And I said, shame on you. God is faithful to you. You post your younger brother with tattoo on your body, on the body. You cannot even... He said, man of God, you see this boy not the hear word, blah, blah, blah. I said, so what is the goodness of God now you are posting here on the status? What is the goodness of God? What is that? Explain the goodness, let me hear. Somebody you are not even sure of his salvation. Why are the one causing problems upon the face of the earth? We are telling people to not be worldly. You as a man of God, see what you are posting. That God is faithful to you. We have to wake up. Are you listening to me? We have to wake up. We were talking one time in my house. I was not in Lagos for a long time. My dad is a military man, so he finished his work in Lagos or job barracks. And so a situation happened, a lady who was in our family, she was deceived by a soldier like that and got pregnant or something. They brought her from the village. And we were talking one time in the house, and I made a statement. Before I even made the statement, he said it. He said, if Pastor Simon was around, this man would have not even come close to the house. Because he would not even allow him to come close to the house. I shook my head because I was so angry with the situation when I heard the story. They knew me. They thought I was being so harsh. I remember years ago, my friend, we play football together. He talks about women so nasty. And I saw him in our house when he joined the Navy force, coming to greet one of my sisters. So when I saw him, I said, leave this place now. And my mother now came and said, no, will you be the one to marry your sister? I said, no, even if there are no husband, this is not her husband. I know him, he knows me, we know us. I say, Simon, I've changed. I said, leave this house now. He was telling me on that as well, Simon, I've changed. And I said, so you know you are supposed to change, leave the house now. Before we know, he made somebody else pregnant in that same Lagos. They were now thanking me. You would think we are being harsh. We know what we are dealing with. We know the kind of human beings we are dealing with. We know what we are doing. When I was in that Lagos, no human being come hovers around our compound. I said, I'm looking for a sister. You are finished. I pursue you. Except you are righteous. And if you are righteous, it will attract. We will attract each other. We will know. You know, I'm talking with one of my sister's fiance recently, and my sister is so shocked. I said, ah, Pastor Simon, the way you are flowing with this guy, I never knew that if anybody calls, I said, I've sensed his spirit. He knows what he's doing. The other one that married too, the husband came to my house, greeted me, spoke for a while. I said, no problem. They married. But before that one came, she know the people have pursued. And what do you want? She said, see, my see, just leave this house. Are you hearing me? And don't ever come back in your life. You know you are not a good person. You know you are evil. Leave this house. Leave my sister. Are you listening to me? And if you don't leave, you know, I don't know if some of you remember that story. I think you remember. My sister was, she came to BSU. So one evil human being carried her in a car. In the name of friendship. She thought it was friendship. I knew it was trap. When I went to her house, they say she went out with, what they call the guy, cost rep. I said, what cost rep? I said, give me the cost rep number they gave me. I said, I am Prophet Simon. And where I'm standing, I don't want to live here until you bring my sister back. And if you don't bring my sister now, accident will happen. Only you will be injured. She will not be injured. Start turning now. He turned and came to where I was standing. Removed my sister. My sister looked at me and started getting angry. Was entering the room. I went to her. I said, you may be angry with me right now, but years later, you thank God for this decision. God bless you. I locked the door and I left. See, today she speaks about it. She speaks about it. We were a little bit harsh. Maybe we would have not been that harsh. But thank God we were harsh like that. But see them today. Somebody is coming to woo your sister unto death and you want to be nice? Huh? When your sister now carry belly, what will you do? You not nicely solve the problem. Oh God, you know you didn't do well, but we are brothers. Is that what you do? Resist the devil and he will flee. There are some people that don't have good intention, even in church. Some of you have seen what happened in this church. You bring people to my office. I look at them, they go. I'll say, that guy should never come to this office again. I've said it several times. Before you know, you will not catch them. But some will first doubt us. I don't know all of your husband, but as your pastor, God will give me the grace to sense evil. I can sense it. I don't know all of you sitting there. I don't know who is your husband. I've never sat down and said, God, show me who Sarah's husband is. Show me who. I don't know. I have no clue. But I am very sure that God will not allow you under this pastorship to get into evil without letting me know that you are entering into evil. And that's why some of you try to be so wise to your own understanding unto that. Some people, they want to get married, they hide the information from their friends in church. They hide the information from their pastor. You know, they feel like, hey, if I tell my friends, she'll judge me. If I tell my pastor, he may judge the man. Blah, blah, blah. He may not, he's not so much of a perfect man, but he's working towards perfection. Nobody is condemning the man. But if you truly know you are doing what is right, why are you hiding it from your friend? The Bible says, better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. You need that friend that will tell you, Esther, you know, say what you they do now. Batting. Now, batting. Change. You need that one friend. Imagine you are coming like this and your zip is open as a young man. I look at you, I say, oh my God, you look sharp. Whoosh. Glory to God for your life. And another one say, my God, come. Follow me. No move. And he helps you to zip. He say, oh boy, you just show everybody your zip, whatever. Which one is a better friend? The second one. You know, those days my sister comes to me and say, how do I look? I'll say, you want honest opinion or you want something that will make you happy? I'll say, honest opinion. I say, this wig and this your makeup is the most terrible thing I've ever seen in my life. And if you go out this way, I don't think any human being that knows what he's doing will take you serious. I've said this thing to my... I think one of them cried one time. Said, went inside and removed the thing. And I said, even this your hair, we can manage it. But if you are done chuku, you would have even been better. That one, they will say they are not hearing. They will still go with their wig like that. But you see, honest opinion. Haven't you seen that men prefer all back? You are wondering what do men even want in this world? Have you not wondered before? Huh? Moses Bliss, people are dancing his song. One girl just danced without even, the hair did not even arrive where it needs to arrive properly. When I checked the hair, hook somewhere at this back here. But Moses Bliss saw her dancing and he said, that's my wife. The Spirit of God said that's his wife. Those Instagram baddies, the Spirit of God, the hair was reaching like here. There is nothing they did not shake and dance that dance. The man did not see wife in them. But this one just came with everything, cover everywhere. Just hair did not arrive down herself. The hair was just here. Half hair. As she do like this, I do like this. The man say, hey! I've seen who God wants me to marry. I know some of you are like, Pastor, hey, if you like, talk anything. I'll do my face. I'll do my hair. I'll do my... It's not your business. There's a man for me. There's a man for me. Is it human that there is for you before? There's actually a man for you. But you must understand that if you live anywhere, you attract your type. Like one time I was preaching here. Let me end with this because I combined the two services. I want to end with this. After this, no second service. You are dressing as a lady. I'll say it pop and plain. You are dressing, you carry your material, you buy material, you give tailor. I say, tailor, sew me cloth. But if you are sewing this cloth, when they are measuring, he says, stop the measurement here. Stop it here. Stop the measurement. This side, measure it. They say it's 16, you say make it 14. You now wear this cloth, it press your. He did not cover it well. You now come to church, you now sit and do like, what is wrong with you? Something must not be right with you at all. You're not. Just talk, you want to show people your breasts. That's all. I get sick sometimes when I see that in church, just that we cannot announce it, because if we talk about it, you will feel bad in that service. Then the worst of them are the ones that they sew very short things. Then they will sit down, some of them even in the front. When pastor now comes to start singing, as pastor turns towards their direction, they now start covering their legs. What do you mean at that moment that pastor is looking at your leg? Now, if you knew that your legs are not... Do people come trying to say, I've looked at people and I've seen them carry something to do like this. I'm like, oh God, what are these people saying in their heart? I must look at everybody when I'm preaching the gospel. If you knew that thing was that short, why did you so that kind of thing? Sometimes we wonder where people are thinking from. Where? It is definitely darkness. It's definitely darkness. Somebody saw something and the thing reached here. The thing tear from here. Who inspired that if it's not Satan? Who inspired that thing? What's that demon for lust? What's the name of that demon? Laviata. Some of us that do that thing. Then a young man wants to dress up with trouser. He now, they say your size is 9. You now say, okay, measure 6. You are wearing skin tight on a Sunday morning. I said, how do we think? When we talk now, they say they are judging our dressing. In that church, they used to judge dressing. But if I go to that church, they used to leave us the way we are. That's why the Bible says in the last days, people will have itchy ears, looking for people to say what they want to hear. Today you preach that worldly songs are bad. People will hate you as a pastor. That you are telling them worldly songs are bad. They will not like you as a pastor. One day I was preaching and I said, in this congregation, if you are seated under the sound of my voice, you've been coming to this church and you have worldly songs, it's a shame on you. A sister came to me after church. Said, Pastor, I felt so bad. I want to publicly repent. I am deleting all the worldly songs in my phone. I was so excited that day. How can you be a Christian? You are praying, trusting. That's why most of those kind of Christian, the only time they remember God is when their house rent finish, when they fail an exam, when they are sick, when someone in their house is sick. That's the only time you see them remembering God. They are in NSPPD in the morning. Amen, amen. Walk with God, 0. No walk with the Holy Spirit. Serve in a department in church. Mm-mm. You want God to provide for you? Yes. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other good thing. Now you seek. How are you sick? It? I just come to church. How the hell did everything get set in this church this morning? You have no clue. And you've been around. I'm not talking about those joining us recently. You've been around for a long time. Nothing concerns you. And you think you're a child of God? Then you expect God to answer all your prayer. You even have prayer requests without no department. Even during the way conference, you came with prayer requests. When they finish, you left church. There is no department. They even say, all of you in ushering, wait behind. You have on your bike and left. Or your car. But you dropped your prayer request. Oh God, remember me in this way conference. Let me do this. I hope you are learning something tonight. Very important. So obey the Lord. That is why when people disobey God, you know, when you go against all of these things, you now have a wilderness experience. You surely will do. Take for instance, they are telling you, serve God in a local church, sit down, learn the word, you are not listening, you want to be everywhere at the same time. God will allow a situation to come so that through that situation your mind will get trained. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Let me share one example before I go. If for instance this man betrayed this man, stand up. If for instance this man betrays this man, betrays his trust, and this man leaves him with God, the best way to set this man up is to leave him with God. When God is done working on this man's life will never remain the same. You think you are losing, oh? They betrayed you, you just left him like that. This guy will go and enjoy his life with whatever he has made. It gets to a point, he gets stuck. See, God always does that. I was watching this movie, I told my wife that if this movie ends in the wrong way, they don't know God. What was the name of that movie? Monica. How many of you have watched that movie? I say, if these people don't learn the hard way, the people that started this movie, they don't know God. I say, the God I know must make these people understand that what they are doing to Monica is evil. Meanwhile, I told her it's a lie. No mother can do this. She said, it's a true life story. They wrote that it's a true life. I say, it's a lie. Till now, I'm finding it difficult to believe that any mother can do that to her daughter. But at the end, you saw it. Monica still married. That's how God does his things. If it's a true life story, Monica married. You see what then happened to the family? See the prodigal son. After all the misbehavior, what happened to him? He went and what? Squandered all the money, got stuck. You think God cannot provide for him? God allowed him to eat with pigs so that he will know what he has been looking down on. He was in his father's house, he will be doing things anyhow. God allowed him to eat with pigs. Now he's back. He's back because he remembered that in his father's house, even servants are enjoying their life. Servants. He said, I'll come back to my father. And he came back. So God will allow this guy. And that's how it happens. You misbehave. You do things wrongly. Take Wednesday, you leave the church, you go and be spreading. You know, I had a vision last two nights. Someone who left the church called somebody in the city of Abuja and was telling the lady in a vision. And I know I trust my vision 100%. Because I wish she was here to hear me. Anytime I tell her something and we neglect it, it happens. Anytime I tell her something, we neglect it, it happens. So she now understands it. If I say it's a vision, see Pastor Simon, please just do it exactly the way you saw it. That's the order of the day now. So I saw her trying to sideline some people. You know, in fact, with God said, God sent me to you to tell you that you should stop going to that church. And in the vision, I looked at her so vexed in her spirit. But the person told her that God already told me to go back. So God cannot be. So she was disgraced in the vision. So I stood up, I told my wife, I said, why is this happening? How can people get to that point that they become this demonic? I said, when your gaze, you know, you think you are very spiritual. Somebody asked me in my office, the person that backslided and came back, the person that said, Pastor, how did I backslide? Very funny question, isn't it? He said, I didn't know that this, how did me like this backslide? I said, there's nobody that cannot backslide. If your gaze are not on Jesus, you will surely what? Backslide. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody under the sound of my voice. There is nobody that cannot backslide. Just set your gaze on the wrong things. Before you know, your fire is dead. Before you know, no appetite for coming to church. What are you even coming to church for? The worst of all, you can't even win souls. It is people that Jesus is burning in their heart that win souls. This was there. How many people did you bring to church? None. You may be feeling bad as an HOD. The real problem is that person has lost his fire. There is no fire burning in the heart of that person. There's no fire. He said, prove your call. Do the work of an evangelist. Meaning, if the fire of God is burning in your heart, you want people to come and experience this fire. There will be a spiritual pull in your heart. You want to draw people towards God. You want to draw people towards God. But if the fire is not burning, nothing. So I said to her, I said, it happens a lot. We have seen it several times. I've said it, and now we are seeing it again. It's a devil. There is no disclaimer, but the truth is that we leave them with the Lord. And that's the most terrible thing to do to anybody. I'm not trying to boast, but a few times before people misbehave, you tell them you are about to misbehave, they don't listen. 2 years down the line, they are back apologizing. The question is this: why not listen now and not make that mistake again? You want to waste 2 years? I've had more than 5 people who had misbehaved. I tell you, 4 out of 5 are already back with apology. Some are wondering how to even reach us. If somebody reached out to Pastor Peter, I say, how do I tell Prophet that I'm sorry? I said, these people think we are even beefing them. We are not beefing you. You think anybody that left church, I'm not beefing the person? There is no way. We know that he's the devil. We advised you against it. You did not listen. And if you want to be back, come back already. There's no problem anywhere. But now that you are listening to the instruction and the wisdom, follow it. Else, the God we serve will always make sure there are consequences. You have to know that you made a wrong decision 2 years ago. I'm telling you the truth. Somehow God must make you understand that that thing you did was bad. Are you all listening to me tonight? He must. He is faithful, and he cannot be mocked, in that what you sow, you must reap. You got to understand this. Don't think you can just eat your cake and have it, they say. How do they say that? Huh? I'm not saying that if you kill somebody, you must die. If you do this, if you repent, you know, the proof that you truly understand you were wrong is that you repent. And the consequences will not come to you. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But now that you are listening to the wisdom of God, if you follow the wisdom of God, you will not go through any wilderness. That's what I'm trying to make you understand. Just obey the Lord and not go through any wilderness. Because the wilderness is not God's plan. Allow him to prune you. And how does that happen? Through the local church. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Through the fivefold ministry. If God says you can be perfected through men that he has given as gifts to you, why do you think it is not possible to be perfected through men? And you have some kind of vain philosophies out there that say, how can I be under a man? I'd rather be in church and walk with the Holy Ghost. Those are stupid ideologies for babies. They don't know the Lord. The God that thinks you should sit in a local church and say, neglect not the gathering of brethren, you are not wiser than that God. If he tells you don't neglect attending church service, if he tells you to submit yourself under the fivefold, his mighty hand, to get perfected. Remember, he even said you'll be perfected as a saint. Then he said the consequence is that you will do the work of the ministry. Meaning people who are not fortified enough don't want to do the work of the ministry. If God has really worked on your inside, if you truly know the Lord, you want to do the work of the ministry. And some people, of course, I'm going to say this because I've addressed that to some of you once in a while on your status. How can God be so alive in your heart you don't share me on your status? How? Some people, you look at their statue is Sabinus, morning tonight. Some is just comedy, morning tonight. And you are a child of God. And every time you say you have problem, you don't want to stain your white. You don't want your friends to know that you are a spiricoco. You are hiding it. Because you are toasting one girl. You don't want her to know that you are for the Lord. Litter it all over your life. Let people know that you are serving God. In fact, one of the part of your armor of salvation, the Bible calls it the sandal of peace, meaning your readiness to preach the gospel. That if you are not wearing the sandal of peace, you are not fully fortified. What does that mean? If you are preaching the gospel every time, logically, you will not be able to make some kind of mistakes. You'll not be able to do some kind of things because you are indebted to these people you are preaching to. They will see you and question you. So Jesus said one way to keep yourself in check is always that is the fact that you are always ready to preach the gospel. You're preaching of the gospel. Preach your neighbors. Preach your brother. You will not shout for your brother. Preach your sisters. You can't insult them. Every time you have a problem with your brother, you say, God will punish you. Start preaching to that brother and see. The day he does something bad, before you say, God will punish, you remember your preaching. Say, God has blessed you. Because you are giving him the gospel. You can't still meet in the pot again because you are preaching to your father and mother. You are preaching to the whole family. Morning devotion, now you have taken it. Some of you don't even do morning devotion. When mommy and daddy call, you are sleeping. You glory carrier. Oh God, I worked so hard last night. You people should pray. I'll pray. I'll cover you guys later. I'll cover. I'm the one covering the family. Imagine you wake up and say, oh, mommy and daddy, can I take over this morning devotion from henceforth? And you begin to explain scriptures to them. And they are getting enlightened. One day your father will be touched and say, let's go to that church. How did I get my father to start believing me? I don't know if I told you the story. He lost money. As he lost the money, immediately God told me, your dad just lost money. I called him. I said, he just lost 500 naira. He said, what? How did you know? I'm looking for it right now. I said, thus says the Lord. Remember I told you I'm a prophet. You just lost 500. You will find it. Thank you. I ended the call. My mother called. Although I saw it in a vision. My leg, I can't walk properly. I said, you cannot walk properly. The God that I serve, the God I've been preaching to you about, will heal you now. In the name of Jesus, your leg be perfect. The next day she called me. My leg is okay. Thank you, prophet. Thank you, prophet. But before, she would stop me when I was growing up. She would say, I should not go to another church. I will not do this. I will not. In fact, she flogged me. Sometimes she did not give me food. Because I was going to another church. She wanted me to go to a particular church. They flogged me. There were nights I would be outside. Cars would be passing and greeting me. Before they now finally opened the door for me. Because I went to another church. But now, if I open my mouth and say, Paul says the Lord, everybody arrange to hear what the Lord is saying. My father told me, my father was a catechist that trains other catechists in the military arm of the Catholic Church. Yes, that's how deep he was. My father told me, go and do your work. Nobody should stop you. I give you my approval. He told me that. That was a taboo. Some of his friends mocked him. In fact, they threatened him with his promotion at the time. He didn't care. He was so sure I knew what I was doing. And the promotion, he still had it. Hallelujah to Jesus. So prove this call everywhere in your family. Everywhere prove this call. With your friends, prove this call. Prove it. Are you listening to me? Paint Jesus everywhere around your life. Paint him everywhere. That's one way you keep yourself in check. As most of you that don't post about Jesus on your status, I suspect all of you. Post Jesus every time. Then some, they don't like to post their church flyer. They say they love the Lord. But they post their business. That's why, did you sell anything last week? Did you sell? You can't invite people with your platform to, and you say, God, if you take us high, we will represent your name. Who will lift your banner high? He says, start them from status. So no, it's just WhatsApp. God, give us positions and see. He that is faithful in with status is faithful in plenty.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.